Grace to you and peace from God, the creator of all things. Amen. Sarah Hendrick, in her commentary on this text for the gospel, talks about a sermon she heard once from a pastor who was from Africa. And he told the story about how in his village, all the people knew each other's sheep. Seems strange for us urban dwellers, but there you would be around the fire relaxing, and a sheep would come up, and you would know to whom that sheep belonged, and you might even know its name. They were all given names, and the villagers knew whose sheep were theirs and gave them a name. And it's a wonderful illustration of our gospel for today, except that not only do we not know our sheep's name? We don't have any sheep. But we have names. Some of us have several of them. We have names and we understand what it means to be named. In my family, I'm a great giver of nicknames. And I give nicknames to almost everybody. And sometimes I tell them what those nicknames are. And sometimes not so much. For years, my son has been known as Doodlebug. Feel free to use it at any time. He will no more respond to you than he does to me. But he will always be that name for me. What is your name? I think that's one of the core questions being asked today. In the gospel lesson, Jesus describes the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. And Jesus says to them, well, you know, it's the shepherd knows the name of the sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd, and they respond to the shepherd because they know the shepherd's voice. The sheep don't respond to just any shepherd. It's not like the shepherds are walking along. You know, one of the things I got when I was ordained, I got a pastor's ID card. I get a new one every year that says that I am an ordained minister of the Lutheran Church, of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, signed by Bishop Murray Fink. I have never once been asked to produce it. I don't get to be a pastor because someone gave me a card. And in fact, the only way that I get to be a pastor, to be your pastor, is if you trust, if you know my voice. And in the same way, the shepherd, any shepherd, there's lots of shepherd, card-carrying, honest-to-God shepherds walking around. But just because you're a shepherd, the sheep don't look up and go, oh, there's a shepherd. I think I'll follow that shepherd. There exists between shepherd and sheep a relationship of trust. And so Jesus says to the people who are gathered there, look, you know the voice of the shepherd. You know my voice. You know God's voice because God has always been trustworthy. God has always fulfilled God's promises. So that you don't go blindly following anyone with just the right credentials or the right card or the right ID, the right initials after their name. You don't follow just any God, and you don't surely follow the thief or the beggar or those who break in to try and steal your trust. You follow, Jesus says, the shepherd who is trustworthy, this God who created all things. Well, he finished his little sermon, and as often happens after a sermon, they all sat blank-faced, going, huh? And so Jesus said, let's try this again. The gate, I'm a gate. Do you know what a gate is? What do you do with a gate? Well, if the gate is closed, you get to stay in. Ah, but if the gate is open, you get to go through. And so Jesus says, okay, you didn't get the shepherd thing and the sheep thing. Maybe you don't know what it's like to be a sheep, but you know what a gate is. I am the gate. And I'm open, Jesus says. Walk through. And in case you missed the first metaphor, as long as you're walking through the gate, follow the shepherd. Well, the early church heard his words. And it says in our first lesson that they responded. You see, it's enough to know the name, or it's not enough to know the name. You also have to hear the call of your name. And when the early church heard that call, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. It sounds like church without the committees. And they didn't have to do a stewardship campaign because they sold all that they have and they held them in common and they gave to those who were in need. And they ate together and they broke bread at home and they ate their food with glad and generous hearts. When they heard God call them into community, they received a new name, people of God. Well, what is our name today? You have lots of names. Doctor, pastor, professional, bricklayer, retired. I like that name. Father, mother, sister, lover, partner, wife, husband, musician, guest musician, choir member, soloist, you name it. All of these names with which you have been named all describe partly who you are, but you have another name. Child of God, beloved of the Most High. Believe it or not, you have this name. You are a holy people, a nation set apart. And then my favorite for all of you, because it takes the pressure off of me, a royal priesthood. God has named you all of those things and called you out. The question is, do we trust enough to live out our name? Not just a kind of private sort of faith, or not just a private thing between, well, Jesus, what are you going to call me and what can I do for you today? But what is your name within a community of faith? Called together for justice in the world. Called together to make gorgeous music and proclaim the word. Called together to feed those who are hungry. Called together by name to be loved and in love. Well, it takes us knowing the shepherd who calls us. This Jesus of Nazareth, who is our shepherd when we are in want, who hears our cries to lie down in green pastures, who walks with us in the valley of the shadow of death, of uncertainty, of pain, and of anguish, and of joyous rapture, and continues to call us. David, Aki, Steve, by name, and say to us again and again, I love you, and you are mine. And so I leave you with perhaps the greatest name of all that God, on which God has bestowed. God has given you the name Beloved. And now we just live it. Beloved. Amen.